Betsy and Thomas here. We are the Voices of America. Look, we've got a great show again today. I mean, every time we do a show, it's a great show because I wouldn't turn on the microphone if I didn't know it's going to be a great show. And so the other day I was walking by Douglas. He was on the phone with someone and he was like in that zone. You know, that zone that Douglas gets into where the spiritual world collides with the geopolitical world and you're just like, wow. Well, he was talking about Judgment Day and what's going on here and what that means spiritually speaking. And it's going to be a fascinating listen, but we're going to save that for the end. What we really want to talk about at the beginning is people are shocked. They're just shocked that Bill Barr has turned out to be a traitor. And we wanted you to update us a little bit on that, if you would. The main topic today is what is really going on with this John Durham supposed interview with John Brennan.
Yeah, let's talk about that seditious piece of leak. I love it that John Brennan has his spokesperson so that he can't be accused of fouling the investigation of John Durham, which is not a special counsel, it's a special investigation, by leaking. What did Brennan do? He came out and he gave his normal, what is it? It's his alibi, really. And what did he say? He said that absolutely, his spokesperson said for Brennan, that Brennan was not a target of the Durham investigation and that he's innocent in every way and that he was just used for 8 hours. They asked him questions just about some facts about one single email. That's completely believable, 8 hours on one email. Okay, complete nonsense. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. John Brennan should have been the first person that they talked to. And I'm going to repeat this because when people get all excited about these things, they have to understand when there is a special investigation, a special counsel, inspector general investigation, when they find crime, they don't just get to sit it on a shelf until they decide 7 years later when the investigation is done, they might pull it off the shelf and do something about, oh, sorry, statute of limitation. No, they have to prosecute. And so what happened? We have a recommendation for prosecution on Andrew McCabe. So it went to a secret grand jury and recommendations came out. They went to the Department of Justice and we hear nothing. With Kevin Kleinsmith, oh yes, Barr gave his, he said it's not going to be a big deal, but it's going to show the direction. Okay, now let's just look at that. The direction of his investigation, Durham's investigation. So you have Kevin Kleinsmith, who literally was in charge of putting together the material for the FISA. And let's remember at that point, who was in charge of the FISA third request? That was the Mueller team. Who was in charge of the fourth request? The Mueller team. When asked about it, Mueller said that he wasn't even looking at such things. But what we have here is a beautiful example of obfuscation and walking it off the cliff. And that's what these fixers do. And we didn't know Barr. We thought Barr might have a chance to come out and be the greatest attorney general of all time by actually being honest. And not just being a cover-up artist and a legal fixer. But nope. And so those people who think, like Drs. Pachesnik and Alex Jones, that this is the beginning of the uncovering of the deep state, you are ridiculously silly. This, as Barr said, shows the direction of the investigation. In other words, the most criminal people who are so obviously criminal that the whole world knows, Kevin Kleinsmith, gets 6 months in jail in a plea deal, which means he was never indicted, actually. He was never really charged with anything. He just confessed to basically not telling the truth to the investigators. That's what they always do. A process crime to get out of treason, sedition, insurrection, resistance, a coup d'etat. You get 6 months? No, you should get, 6 feet of a rope that goes around your neck is what you should get. Now,
but if they refuse to look at the big picture of what was going on, if they keep everything in these little tiny silos, very narrow and defined silos, then all it is a little bit of process crimes. Like, oh, yeah, I signed that FISA warrant. Did I read it? No, I didn't read it. Oh,
and they
can
get away with that. How come they weren't put in jail after that testimony? I signed a FISA court warrant, a Title I, 702, swearing that Carter Page was a Russian agent. I signed it. Six of these culprits signed it. And then I think three or four of them, for sure three, have said that they didn't read it before they signed it. So then they go to jail because they abnegated their job. They gave away our constitutional republic to enemies. They used their office in much, much worse than political lying, manipulation, partisanism. No, Barr, it's called a crime. These are crimes. You just let Kevin Kleinsmith get away with the biggest crime that you can have. It's supposed to be a death penalty if you're in the military. And he gets away with 6 months. James Wolfe got away with what? A few weeks? So these people who are part of these crimes are showing Barr's hand. And Barr's hand is John Durham has come in to do cover-up jobs before. And that's all he's doing now. If John Durham had anything, well, he would have indicted someone now, wouldn't he? And if he would have indicted someone, we would have known it. That's the only time you're going to hear about one of these special investigations, or in this case, it's not even been given the term special investigation. But these kind of investigations, here's Brennan saying that John Durham is leaking for political reasons. No, that's what you just had your spokesperson do, John Brennan. Plus, your spokesperson, your spokesperson who worked for you at the government is no longer your spokesperson. I know that they're a culprit like you, and they're complicit with your crimes, and that's the reason you use them, because they're used to telling those lies, and they're very good at it. But no, you can't get away with that. You are the one who just leaked. No one else leaked. The Durham investigation, we've heard almost nothing about who's gone in, who hasn't gone in, except to hear some of the biggest criminals state that they have been told emphatically by Barr and by Durham that they are not even a target of investigation.
Yes, but do you recall the tweet that Trump tweeted after he received a review or whatever? I don't know the format that he received this information about kind of an overview of what was going on with John Durham. And he tweets out that it was breathtaking. What do you make of that?
Well, we didn't know whether or not he was trolling, whether or not it was breathtaking to him because he saw the full scope that we may never get to see, or whether it meant that it was deeper than he knew, whether it meant that there was evidence there, or whether they just made up a bunch of caca and told it to him so that he would, of course, go straight to his tweet and give it out. And so it would make it look like Barr was doing something. No, here's the deal. Just yesterday, he tweeted out that the deep state over at the Food and Drug Administration, or whatever you want to call it, okay, the deep state, he has now just called the FDA, the members who have reversed his orders to allow...
You mean he might even say senior executive services one day?
Well, yes, that's what he's saying. That is the senior executive services. He just said the deep state is over at the FDA. And he named him by whoever it is that just changed up the rules on not allowing some of the treatments, hydroxychloroquine in particular, to be used when we know that all the countries around the world are getting rid of this with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and then also a new one, which we just put up a post on called ivermectin, it's called, I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N. It's being used in Australia, and it's been used on every case that these doctors have seen, and in every single case, it healed them. And it costs 12 cents a pill, and it's been around, it's been used for a long time, it's FDA approved already. And it's healing everyone in Australia, but we aren't going to be allowed to have that here in America because we have to remember that while Fauci is on a break because he contradicted himself 17 times, that was part of the disinformation campaign and the perception management. Now, Francis Collins, the head of the NIH, who is a criminal through and through, totally sold out to the Templeton Fund, recently got $1 million award from the Templeton Fund. He's the head of the NIH, right? He is the one who has now moved forward to make sure that he told the FDA that they're not going to allow these things that are healing everyone all over the world in America.
Don't go too far, because this guy with the Templeton Fund, the reason he gets a award is because the Templeton Group, which is funded by the hedge fund Templeton, okay, they award every year like over $1 million to a group that has brought some spiritual or religious whatever into the world, and they think it's all that. And the Dalai Lama's gotten the award, and Mother Teresa, and things like that. So they gave him the award because of this. It's called BioLogo, or is it BioLogo?
BioLogos. Yeah.
So you can see he's kind of taking the Christian term logos, kind of interweaving it with this biological agenda, and then he's going around to all the different churches and having the preachers preach the good word of forced vaccinations. This is evil. He's using the church and religion to carry his message of mandated vaccines.
Absolutely. And he's being quite effective at it. And he does more of that than he does his job. And his job really is nothing more than working for the pharmaceutical companies and vaccine companies. Nothing about treatments. You're not going to find that Francis Collins has ever done a dadgum thing about healing influenza or anything else. And don't be surprised. It's coming, folks. Mandated flu shots. Why? They already have them. They already have that rat line of money all established from the donations of Bill Gates all the way through to the pharmaceutical companies that Bill Gates owns. So it's already in the line. It'll be eventually, if there's not a vaccine, then what will happen is someone is going to proffer the idea, which has already been being used in the martial law country, pandemic martial law country of New Zealand, where they literally take your child from you if they have a fever and put your child into a quarantine camp. And if you resist, then they are told they can use whatever force is necessary.
We need more people to see through this and understand that what is going on here is global genocide. Global genocide doesn't happen all at once, folks. It rolls out slowly. We saw it happen with the Uyghur people. And now we're very concerned about our friends in Australia and New Zealand when we're hearing reports out of more strident measures beyond the mandatory muzzle, the face mask that you're being forced to wear worldwide. Now, you must stand down on the face mask. It must be your final stand, because if you do not get them to stop forcing us wearing these, it's going to go the next step, and then the next step, and then the next thing you know, we're all wiped out as humanity. And this is not drama. This is what is going on. So make a stand with your face mask.
The mask is not there to protect you from any illness. It's to give you an illness. That's been proven 1,000 times for anyone with any intelligence who has done the research whatsoever. Why? Because it's a moist surface in front of your face where you are being poisoned by carbon dioxide, being given a lack of oxygen. But what are you breathing in? The accumulated viruses and bacteria in the mask. So if you ever did encounter anyone with the virus and bacteria, it would go on your mask and it would stay there until it absolutely went into your system. And what are we seeing now? We're seeing so much illness. Now, I'm not talking about the psychological illness, the fear, the trepidation, the lack of wanting to go outside, the lack of wanting to do anything, the depression, the suicide. No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about direct illnesses where the emergency rooms are being filled with people who come in with these throat problems. Now, what's one of the first signs of coronavirus? A throat problem. So yes, they may have any variety of coronaviruses. People don't seem to understand that there's hundreds of them and that every single flu is individualized with the individual. So if you get a flu shot right now and they're free, oh yeah, they're giving them away for free. And pretty soon it'll be, you can't come to work, jab or job. You know, you can't have your job if you don't get jabbed with a needle for influenza. Well, this has never been the case before. And influenza is on the uptick because of the influenza vaccine. Because an influenza vaccine gives you last year's or the year before or previous year's influenza. It's not going to build your system to avoid the current one. Now, a coronavirus is it's influenza, but then all colds are influenza. So when you go get an influenza shot, a flu shot, they're giving you the flu. Now, if you're strong enough that you can handle that and you think it's going to build your system, which is a myth, because when your thymus atrophied at age 12 to 14, you don't have the capacity to build the immune response to these things. You just don't, folks. If you're old like me, you don't have it. So what are the people really dying of coronavirus? They're dying of the flu shot. They're dying of the pneumonia shot. And they've combined all those statistics together. And if you remove the pneumonia deaths that aren't there in the column for the CDC, and you remove the flu deaths that aren't there, then it basically equals all but about 30 or 40,000 people who may have died of coronavirus, but probably not, because in almost every one of their cases, they had some pre-existing condition, which they call premorbidity, which meant that you could die from the illness you had, and then you die from that, and then they test you, and of course you have a coronavirus. Why? Because you're in a hospital. If you're in a hospital and you're sick, the coronaviruses are on the floor. The enteroviruses, every virus you know, every bacteria you know is in a hospital. So, of course, any person in a hospital who's tested after they die is going to show positive for coronavirus, not for COVID-19, which is a DNA test which almost nobody gets.
I think we went off the path a little bit. We were, I don't know if you had finished with John Brennan, but I did want to report in. Now, everybody out here knows that we are fighting an information war. We always called you information warriors, but Trump calls you keyboard warriors. And I need you to pay attention to what's going on. Lisa Page, you know Lisa, she's part of the Lovers. And she just tweeted out that it's a deeply isolating experience she's having and one that existentially changes those that endure it. You see, she's a human being too, and she's feeling isolated and she's feeling the angst of everything that she did. And what she doesn't know is how many of us out here know what she did. So this is when you get your keyboard and you go on over there to Lisa Page's Twitter site, or you start educating your downline as to all the evil things that Lisa Page did. She was going to overthrow President Trump. She was going to overthrow America. Now, Lisa has children. I want to know, Lisa, are you going to be homeschooling this year? I bet Lisa lives in Virginia because she's a SES swamp, so she probably lives in the suburbs. Are you going to be forced mandated to have a vaccine? I hear in Virginia, that's what your governor wants to do. Will you be first in line, Lisa? You see, Lisa needs to feel what it's like to be on the other end of a lot of angry people. Now, of course, we only ask you to do your actions through your keyboard and digitally, no doxing. And you know, you can't say things that get you in trouble. Basically, you need to start speaking truth about Lisa and letting Lisa know that you know the truth.
Yes, that would be marvelous, because she tried to overthrow the president. If she was in the military, that's called being a traitor, and then they'd probably line her up and shoot her and or put her in prison forever and or hang her. And so we need to stop playing the games, and we need to stop lollycoddling things and sugarcoating them and giving them sweet little names. For instance, you know, I'm going to go ahead and complain about this, and I'm sorry, Sundance, but your big reveal was nothing. Your big reveal amounts to the following, that now when you say the Durham report or the Durham investigation, excuse me, you say it's the Aldenburg Durham investigation because you found that William Aldenburg is there. And supposedly you say he's leading the investigation. And of course, we know he's corrupt, but he's not smart enough. Look how he botched Sandy Hook. Okay. He botched it so bad that he shows up in a SWAT team as the first in a SWAT outfit as the first responder, and then gets caught changing outfits so that he also appears as a parent walking in and around and around and around and around the firehouse. I mean, come on. He's an idiot. If you can't see through Sandy Hook, you can't see through anything. So then, unfortunately, you'll probably be voting Democrat. But let's go to Sundance. Sundance, you did not give a big reveal. You now sound right back like you're on track. So all that you told us, that the swamp was going to be drained, that the linchpin was going to be pulled, it was all going to fall apart, that you are going to force Barr to do something that is so huge, and that you have all the secrets that he doesn't know, and that when you give it to the Department of Justice and the FBI and all the people you went out to give it to, that the whole world's going to change. Nothing changed except you now call it the Aldenburg slash Durham investigation. And the release of what he did with Kleinsmith shows the direction. Barr is correct. It's going nowhere. That's the person everybody, he was caught so red-handed. It's disgusting. He had the smoking gun in his hand, and he probably isn't even going to do time when it comes down to it. When it says these people are going to do 6 months, no, they may have a tether put on them or something and stay in their house for a while. But James Wolfe, I never saw them taking him off. I never saw them arresting him. I never saw him in prison. Never saw him punished for leaking the whole FISA court warrant that we're still arguing over. Everybody's still arguing over it. If we just simply had it unredacted, then we'd be able to look at the truth. And then we could simply say, is this your name, James Comey? You go to jail. Is this your name, Andrew McCabe? You go to jail. Is this your name, Dana Boente? You go to jail. That Sally Yates, you go to jail. James Baker, you go to jail. You signed off on these. It's done. We don't need to consider anything after that. And Comey's being a star witness for Mueller does not give him immunity for crimes that were there's ways to get around that. So we can still prosecute these people. And then to focus on the lawyer who you say, Sundance, revealed his file that he was using against James Wolfe, and that's the reason he had the FISA court warrant and released it, is nonsense. We gave you the list of all the people who had it because they were all working on it. And, okay, I'm not even going to go over the list again. The point is, who cares about Brian Dugan? Don't care. Let's focus on the real person who was doing the crimes then. That would be McCain through Henry Kerner and through his other associate, David Kramer, and the whole setup of the British. And if you don't go back to the British, and Daniel Jones will lead you to the British because you get Russian-British donations to work against Trump and the Penn Quarter Group through Daniel Jones, who was a direct associate underneath James Wolfe. These people knew the whole story. They created the story. They begged the story. They paid $50,000 for installment for the Russian Christopher Steele document. So this is, I liked what Trump said. He called out the FDA for being deep state or whatever you want to call them. And then we're telling you why it happened, because Fauci bowed out, because Fauci's such a coward. He won't be responsible for anything, as you've noticed. And so he's putting it on his boss just at the time his boss gets popped for taking money from Templeton. Let's remember, Templeton is the group that was involved in the Ukrainian laundered money through Burisma and through NAFCO gas, okay? Everybody knows that, don't they? It's Rudy Giuliani has talked with all those people. They've all come out. They've given affidavits. They've given the documents. We know this. Is anything being done? How come Biden isn't being prosecuted with his son instead of running for office? If somebody thinks that the deep state is being destroyed by Barr, when I'm telling you all of this that's going on, then you are simply eyes closed.
I just wanted to add that in our research, we found out that Rudy Giuliani has been knighted.
Oh, yes. And I'm sorry, Rudy, but you don't want me to get started on you because you're supporting Trump and you really... We have proof of what you did, where you were, what you said. It's on film, and we have your voice. And we know what happened at Tower 7, which was the new headquarters for the FEMA Emergency Control Center, which you closed down that day and shifted it to the Port Authority. I mean, do you think we forgot all that? No, we didn't forget. So anyway, we won't go there, but the corruption in Ukraine, it doesn't matter. Go over there, talk to anybody. They're all corrupt. It was just a turkey shoot for how much money can we steal from America? And then the Democrats saying, how much money can we get by working with the oligarchs who are stealing money from America? Because we got to get our piece, because we're the ones who pass the laws that allow it to happen. So it's disturbing. No, I'm not. I don't believe for one second that Barr is going to take down the deep state. I don't think there's going to be a single indictment so far. If Kevin Kleinsmith didn't even get indicted, he plea dealed out of that and says now that he's done with his testimony. No. You do a plea deal, you keep being available for the entire investigation. So if he says he's done and they say he's done, then the investigation is done. And what do you do in the cleanup of an investigation? You call in the most guilty people last so that you make sure to tell them what it is or the lies that they have extracted from the other people who were their underlings so that they'll know what lie to tell. And then they tell that lie and then they get out of it. That's what Michael Horowitz has been doing. That's what Durham's been doing. That's what, and remember, they've only appointed three or four people to go after hundreds of SES members who did these things that we have called out. So what do they got? They got literally a handful of already SES member, already fixers for Washington, D.C., for the top profile cases coming in to fix this. So don't believe for one second that Barr, that's like saying trust Sessions, trust Barr, trust Horowitz. No. We only trust people by their actions. And right now, Barr has been basically nothing. He arrested 1,400 people the other day. Those 1,400 people should have been arrested day one that he came into his office because the gang members, I mean, all you got to do is go out and say, hey, any of you gang members want to fight? When they come into the streets, you arrest them and you take them back to the countries they came from. Hello, 1,400 is a very low number. And he's out there bragging about it. No. His project legend and this on. No, he's got nothing to brag about. Nothing, absolutely nothing, except that he has flapped his gums, acting like he supports Trump.
Okay, but I think that so close to the election, we just let Barr go aside because he's shown his colors. And if he comes out with something, fine, we'll deal with it then. But he's not going to, and Trump doesn't need to show his card that he knows that Barr is a traitor. So I hope that he'll continue to troll Barr, as Barr just came out with that Snowden recommendation. Somebody, I don't know if I have it teed up right, but the long and short of it is Trump said, well, maybe I should look into that, you know, pardoning Snowden. And Barr immediately came out and said, that would not be a good idea. Sort of like Trump saying to Bill Gates, well, maybe I should look into all this vaccination stuff, you know, try to fix it. And Bill Gates saying, you know, at this time, that would not be a good idea.
Well, let me explain that because that's a very good topic, Snowden. Trump said, just like when they asked him about Q, oh, really? Oh, what is that? I don't know about that. Oh, that's what they do? Well, is that a bad thing? Put it right back on the people. Oh, are you telling me that if there are Satanists who are pedophiles who are trying to take over the country that I shouldn't do anything about it? It was so beautiful. So anyway, with Barr and Snowden, this is what happened. Remember, Barr is a CIA spook, lying saboteur. Always has been from day one. And then he became a lawyer through Georgetown, and it became much, much worse. And then he was always called in because he looks like a deputy dog. He looks like a friendly little bear who you just want to cuddle. And he says nice things and seems intelligent. All he's doing is covering up, no matter who he's covering up for.
Forget his wife and Bob Mueller's wife go to Sunday school together and share Bible study. They're best friends, you know.
Isn't that nice? So with Snowden, Barr knows that Snowden is a fake, that the release that Snowden made couldn't have been made by anyone who had that much access into that many silos. Not possible. Snowden was an example of the battle between the CIA and the NSA. And we've told you all about this in previous intelligence reports, and so I'm not going to get into it. But let me just point out, Barr knows that if Snowden actually came back to this country and had a pardon, he'd tell the truth. And the truth is, he was told to release that stuff. He didn't steal it and release it. That's complete nonsense. Nobody has that much access. And when anytime you hear anybody tell you that they have access beyond one silo, they're liars. Okay? Even Barr will tell you that he hasn't looked into anything dirt. He said this. I haven't looked into a single detail that Durham has done in his report, in his investigation. Not one. Not had one update. That's how they stay in their silo, and that's how they get exonerated, because they didn't know. They signed the document, but they didn't read it. Oh, that wasn't my silo. Or Mueller saying, I didn't look into Fusion GPS. That wasn't in my purview. Oh, my gosh. I mean, these are insane remarks.
What?
The second they make them, they should be arrested.
Dmitry Alperovich? Remember that?
Yes.
He didn't even know who CrowdStrike was.
He didn't know who CrowdStrike was.
Yes, he does. He just chooses not to acknowledge it because it's not in his silo.
And so Sundance says it's the Andrew Weissman / Mueller special counsel investigation because Andrew Weissman led it. Well, yeah, we know that because Mueller's no... He's been in this business so long that he delivered yellow cake to Putin's hands himself so that Hillary could get her Uranium One deal. And for 10 years, he had Andrew McCabe protecting those people in this country as we sold out uranium to the Russians, the people that we have the uranium just so we can create plutonium, so we can have bombs, so we can have deterrence against the Russians, according to Kissinger. But no, no, we have Mueller working directly for Putin. So when they talk about Trump being in bed with Putin, no one could be in bed any deeper than Hillary and Bill and Mueller, because Mueller knew all of this, and Andrew McCabe. So anyway, we can't believe for one second that anybody is going to come to Trump's aid and that the deep state is going to be revealed. First off, it's not a deep state. It's the senior executive service members, 10,000 of them, 8,500 of them were either Obama supporters through giving money and or appointed by Obama, and they haven't left. They didn't allow Trump to put his people in. Last time I knew, he still had 1,400 appointees who never got appointed, were never confirmed. 4 years.
Well, it just happened. To the point that there has not been a peaceful transition, and the citizens of America demand that once the coup d'etat has been put down, officially Trump will let us know, we want him to take the oath of office again and start from the very beginning, his first day of his first term, and then we'll deal with his second term down the road. But he has not been able to be the president because of these, they're crown agents, foreign interlopers, saboteurs, traitors.
When Obama, Biden, and Hillary, Valerie Jarrett, Comey, Mueller are in jail, then he can begin his presidency. But until then, there has not been a peaceful transfer of power. And that's just a fact. Never happened in U.S. history before. We now know it. Everybody knows it. Why? Because Trump keeps yelling it out on his tweets and speaking it out, the truth. And the deep state covers it up. And I want to say one more thing. When he said the deep state FDA isn't letting this drug in, you can go. There's ways to get these hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. There's ways to do it. So if you need it, look for it. And then I'm going to say one other thing, and that's that Dr. Pajitnik revealed something I didn't know.
Oh, wait a minute. You have to say that. That was sent to us, this video between Alex Jones and Pajitnik. And you know, sometimes you think Pachinik's going to be a good guy, and then the other time you realize, oh, he is like a CIA operative through and through. He'll never, ever be able to walk out of that role. And when you listen to the dialogue between the two, I mean, it just takes a few minutes, and you realize that Pachinik is covering for Barr and trying to promote Barr as being a patriot. So Alex Jones and Dr. Steve Pachinik are trying to trick you and your downline to believing that Barr is not a traitor.
Right. And yet then he says in this, because sometimes when he gets really worked up talking to Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is just barking like a mad junkyard dog, never really saying anything, and interrupting every single person he ever interviews. He's the worst interviewer on the face of the earth, maybe in the whole galaxy. Now, what did Pajitnik say that was so interesting? Most fascinating. Now, I've heard him make slight references to this, but I've never heard him say it, and he said it twice. He said that Ann Dunham, the mother, the fake mother, the supposed mother of Barack Obama, whose real name is Barry Sotero, whose real name isn't even that. His real name is Subarka, Barry Subarka. And we know this because it has now come out. I just saw a number of people revealing this. I don't know why it's coming out, but on the back of a very, very old request for a passport. Ann Dunham put the name of her child as Barry Subarka and then scratched it out and then put Obama and then scratched the whole thing out. And that was to get a passport because she was in Jakarta, Indonesia. And she was there for the following reason. Dr. Pechenik says that Ann Durham's parents, mother and father, worked directly underneath him in the CIA in Hawaii in the East-West Center, where Obama's sister still works, where Obama's had great allegiance, and where they were targeted this sect called Subud. There's different ways to pronounce it, S-U-B-U-D. The founder of Subud, his name is Mohammed Subu, and he's got a really long last name. Nobody can pronounce it. I won't even attempt. But he has, you know, tens of thousands of followers around the world. He's very radical, but he's got a mix of things. Well, strangely enough, that's where Anne was sent to Jakarta to supposedly teach English. And then she met Barry Sotero, who was then the adopted dad for supposed Barry, the other Barry Sotero, Barack Obama, who's, that's not his real name. Anyway, what really happened is the following. And if you don't believe this, I guarantee you, you will, if you simply put in a search for Subud, S-U-B-U-D, founder. You're going to see a person who looks exactly like Obama. You will think that it's a spoof, that Obama is just wearing a funny hat. And if you go back in years and look at this founder of Subud, you will see that he looks exactly like Barry Sotero. Well, this is what happened. Anne was sent there because this guy was getting crazy, the founder of Subud, and he was beginning to, by the tens of thousands, have followers who became radical Islamic terrorists, but they had a really... Yeah, I won't go into the detail of it. I've actually studied this. I didn't know this when I studied it because I study all religions. But anyway, so he did an amalgamation of different religions, and then he became a terrorist. Well, he had a bastard child with one of his people. That is Barry Sotero, Subarka, Barry Subarka. That is the son of Muhammad Subu. And when you look, you'll see that it's true because you'll see that Barry Sotero, Barack Obama, doesn't look anything like an African-American.
I found the picture. I was just, while you were talking, I do have a picture of that in the file, so I will put it on the cat report.
And if you overlay the pictures, they're at a certain age, they are the same person. They are so exact. They look like twins. So we know that Anne lost her child that she had with supposedly the Kenyan father. We know this because she spent 2 years at Washington University without a child, and no one had the child. We know this because of the incongruency in the age of Barry Sotero. That's why the Hawaiian leader of Subud was the person who signed Barry Sotero's full-length birth certificate, the fake document, and then provided other documentation and then died in a mysterious plane wreck. That she was the head of Subud in Hawaii. In other words, she was a CIA agent. Hello. So why were we after this guy? Why the CIA after this guy? Because he had tremendous following and he looked like he was going to create a religion that would be huge. So they sent Anne over there after Anne had lost her child. And oh, lo and behold, she was supposedly teaching English at an American school. That's what they always do with the East-West Center. They always send somebody to teach English. And they don't teach English at all. What did she really do? She worked for the top lieutenant, Barry Sotero, the man she married, was the top lieutenant of Muhammad Subu. Top lieutenant. She actually taught, not English, she taught the philosophy of Subud inside of their little school. So it's a lie that she taught English there. And then what happened? Then they had this child who came about, that they needed to do something with this child. And so the number one lieutenant said, I'll adopt him and make him Barry Sotero. And Anne said, fine with me. Because now as a CIA agent, she had the ultimate piece to control the very organization that she went over to spy on, Subud, and its founder, Muhammad Subud, and now his bastard son. And so when she brought him back to Hawaii, isn't it funny, Ann Durham's mom and dad, they really don't have a job. You can't find they have a job, but they had so much money, they sent their child from first grade to Punahou, where I have worked a little bit. I know it quite well through the Hawaii Association of Independent Schools. $25,000, I think in those days, $27,000 to send your child to kindergarten, and then the rates go way up after that. Where did he get that money? He applied as a foreign student under the name Barry Sotero. We have his documents for this. He went to Occidental underneath the name Barry Sotero. He went to Pakistan underneath the name Barry Sotero. He never said he had an alias when he applied to the president, and his birth certificate has seven parts of it that have been altered. Anyone can see this, and it's been proven over and over by people who've studied this. So when you're talking about Kamala Harris, you know, she is nothing more than another Manchurian candidate created by the CIA to basically be a leader exactly like Obama was, who will do whatever she's told to do. Obama was told to create, you know, and he did 60 million refugees by bombing seven countries, and that would create complete world economic chaos and so many refugees that the Pope would be rich, Turkey would be rich, Syria would be rich, and the UN especially would be rich. But, and also, did I mention the 148 fake fronts for the Catholic Church to handle refugees would be rich? We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars. So now we have a Kamala Harris who will simply do what Soros tells her to do. Biden, he'll have to step aside because he is mentally incompetent. It won't even take a doctor to determine that. And some people say, and now that I look back on it, that that speech was not given live because he can't put a sentence together. So they actually did, what are those called, a deep fake? And they did it over and over and over again until they got him to be able to have a clip, because there's no proof that, as you pointed out, they were even on the same stage or in the same place. So what do we go with Biden?
There's a scene where Jill and Joe are supposed to be in a, it looks like some kind of school setting, and activities and balloons are falling. And it is so fake. You can tell that it's a green screen and the activity behind them has nothing to do with where they are. The whole thing's a fake. But, you know, I mean, you look at their logo. Their logo, now, if when you look at it, and again, that'll be featured right there on the thumbnail of this audio, is demonic. They are saying death to America in the very DNC logo for 2020.
A five-pointed star representing Baphomet, the demon that... five-pointed star, and that's their symbol now.
And this is a great segue to talk about this Judgment Day.
Yes. Also, I want to say that Democrats, people don't know this, and it's so sad. And this is why Betsy always says there has to be civics classes in any true curriculum. Okay, Americans out there, raise your hand if you think we live in a democracy. 99.9% of the people just raised their hand. We're not in a democracy. There hasn't been a democracy since Athens. And I'll explain why in just a minute. We are in a constitutional republic. We choose the representatives and send them. We do not all go to Washington, hear the question put before us, and then have those who are in favor scream yes, and those who are against it scream no. And then the person, the judge up at the front says, the yeas or the nays have it. That's democracy, folks, when you have your own voice. We don't have that. But what has the Democratic Party become? The Democrat Party. It has become the party of mob rule. Because really, when it comes down to it, what is true democracy? It's mob rule. Who can yell the loudest? Period. So what did you get to see for all those days of the Democratic National Committee? The lowest common denominator, the lowest humans on the face of the earth coming forth saying that I am the new standard, and my standard as a BLM member, as one of them was saying, is there will be no police, there'll be no ICE, there'll be no they're going to get rid of everything that civil society represents so they can have anarchy. And then that person gets applauded. How about the person who said the national anthem and when it came down to Under God, just went and nodded her head. And she had three flags up there. So we were saying, she was saying the pledge to three different flags. So that's the pathetic presentation that we saw. They are now mob rule, AOC, how anyone would listen to the Green New Deal or anything that the radical Islamic fascists, terrorists who have been elected to office now have taken over the Democrat Party, and it is now the party of mob rule, the party of one. And if one Democrat believes that it's true, then by golly, it's true. And by the way, there were no planks in the platform at all. Not one single reference to a plank in the platform of the Democrat Party, except mob rule, which they say are peaceful protests.
Are we looking at the end times?
Yes.
Judgment day?
Yes.
Please, take us where you, I don't know who you were talking to, but go there again, baby. It was good.
Well, okay, this is the way that one, you can look at it from a Christian point of view. Some will say we're at the apocalypse, that it's the time, the end times, that the beast has risen and the seven-headed, ten-horned beast is there and trying to blah, 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 blah. No, well, nobody seems to ever read to the end of St. John's book of Revelation, the apocalypse. Why do they never read to the end? The end is during about the middle, there's a judgment, and the judgment is described in other places in the Bible, like the sorting of the sheep and the goats, but really it's the good and the bad. And the good get this white gown, and then they go underneath the throne of the great ruler, and they're protected, and they have 1,000 years of peace, and they sing the eternal song, and they preach the eternal gospel, and nothing could be finer. Has anyone ever mentioned that? Well, no, here's what's really going on. We're not quite there yet. But those who are going to go under the chair, which is really the throne, you know, it's the throne of God. Those who are going to be protected by the throne of God, this is all the Christian view, and we've written about it in the third volume of the Gospel Sophia, if you wish to read about it in very exact detail. What happens is there's a judgment, and that's what people are seeing now, because we have at this moment a prevision of the real apocalypse, which is going to happen in about 6,000 years. But what we have now is a little version of it. So we have the war of all against all, the apocalypse, the first part of it, and the wraths, the vials of wrath and the blowing of the horns and the, you know, trumpets sounding, blah, 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 all this stuff and all the judgment coming. That's happening right now. Why is that happening? Because mankind has been pulled across the threshold of consciousness between the physical and the non-physical world, whatever you want to call it, the divine world. And that has happened because why? Everywhere you look, instead of atomic bombs are going to kill you. Oh, no, now it's a pandemic. Now your neighbor, now your child, your loved one, your beloved, your lover is going to give you a virus that's going to kill you. And we all must live in absolute fear, abject fear of that. Get rid of all love, because where there's fear, there's no love. Where there's love, there's no fear. It's as simple as that. So we are seeing the judgment. And the judgment is accidentally coming through what we call the Second American Revolution. So here in America, we're seeing a little mini apocalypse. That is true. We're seeing a mini war of all against all with the pandemic. That is true. But what's going to happen? The people who are bad, who will not wake up, the people who are COVIDiots and believe the nonsense that the National Institute of Health tells you when they're all criminals, or the CDC, all criminals, or Bill Gates, who's practicing medicine without a law across state lines, federal crime, he should be put in jail for crimes against humanity. We listen to them? No. What should be happening is you listen to your own heart. And when you get judged, really nobody just judging you but yourself. It's all the memories are coming up of all the things you've done. And if you've been good, you know it. And if you've been bad, you know it. Stop hiding. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to meet judgment day when you die. But right now it looks like we're all dying. So it looks like we're in judgment day. It looks like we're crossing the threshold between the physical and the spiritual world. So are you a sheep or are you a goat? You have to decide. Are you going to fall for this control mechanism called the pandemic? Or are you going to fight for your own freedom? And this isn't just about an election. This isn't just about Trump. This is about what has to continue on from the moment that we voted for Trump and got him elected against all odds and all the criminality of the globalists and the Pilgrim Society and Hillary and her whole gang and Obama and Soros, against all of that. Now, if he continues on, it will not be the apocalypse. It will all have, as they're calling it, a super V. It's going to bounce right back. And when it does, they're going to take away the power of the CDC. Trump has already said he's going to do that. Take away the power of the NIH. Hasn't said that yet, but he got rid of Fauci, who said 17 different things about masks. And he's going to take away the power, already has, of the World Health Organization, the United Nations. So that, if we had gone with the World Health Organization, we would all, right now, at this moment, if Hillary had been elected, we would already had numerous wars. There'd be one in Damascus, there'd be one in Palestine, one in North Korea. We'd have multiple wars going on all at one time, and you wouldn't even believe what Hillary is about to do. But the pandemic, remember, they already practiced the pandemic with the swine flu. And so they knew exactly what they could and couldn't do. And at that time, because they didn't have enough hatred and because we had a person who was claiming to be an African-American, actually a true African, not even an African-American, a Kenyan. We were having a president who claimed to be a Kenyan and wasn't. And by the way, turned his back on all of his Kenyan relatives. For $7 a month, he could have given them water the entire time he was the president. But they still had to walk miles to get water. His family. His supposed family. This is Obama. That wasn't his family. His family was in Jakarta, India, Indonesia. But anyway, what we're working with here is it's coming to a head, and the judgment will be made, and everyone will judge themselves. And when they say to you, are you going to get in the line for the mandatory vaccine and your biochipping, you have to make a decision.
No,
you better make the decision ahead of time.
No, the decision starts with the mask.
Yes.
This is an easier one to win, is with the mask. And that's why you have to be fierce about the mask. Here in Michigan, we're taking down that Nazi governor we have, Gretchen Whitmer, it's not a recall, but it's a method to take away her executive power since she has overreached so grossly here in the state, just taking down family businesses, families who left in isolation, schools are in a shamble. But she's a George Soros operative, as are many governors. But it was going to be George Soros's pick for vice president. And mind you, that was certainly in play for the president, that Gretchen Whitmer. So we all have to pay attention to what's going on now locally. So how you can get your boots on the ground is by going, finding out what's happening in your community. If everybody would take care of their community and clean up their community, your city halls, your governors, your local representatives will be a lot better off. And remember, in November, we want everybody to vote red. And I know that there are some people on that red side that you just want to hold your nose, like Liz Cheney. Really, she's not fooling anybody. She's there to protect her Daddy Dick's legacy. So we know that they're there. But once we get all red and Trump has all that power from we the people, it's not Trump with the power. It's we the people that have asked Trump to be our leader, to lead us out of this. Then he'll squeeze them in just the best way. He'll troll them right off the stage so we can enjoy watching Lindsey Graham win his election, but then be sidelined, much like how he played the ego of Nikki Haley, who was the governor who didn't support him during the primaries, during the election 2016. She went with another candidate, and she was always a never Trumper, but Trump played right through her. He appealed to her ego and gave her that position at the UN, when, of course, all of us know out here that the UN is the enemy, and there she goes, bye-bye. Whereas the lieutenant governor got promoted right up to the governor position in South Carolina, and he is a Trumper. So you can't outthink the Trump people, especially you swamp rats.
Because he's speaking the truth, which is the most powerful weapon anyone can have. Now, I just want to say, this is not the end times, But if we play our game right, and if Trump gets reelected, it could be the end times for the pharmaceutical control of the new war zone, which is your blood zone, your blood. Trump could end, he's already ending war. He's ending the fake capitalism of the U.S. Treasury's alignment with the Fed. He's ending so many things, it's absolutely absurd, but they are it's the power and the control of the globalists. He's saying now the pharmaceutical prices will come down 70, 80, 90%. We've already seen it with insulin. We've seen it with many things. He is the most unprecedented president in U.S. history. He, before the pandemic, had already accomplished more than any other president, and he will afterwards. But this is the great thing. This is the last battle, folks, for the big war of the globalists. If they lose the pandemic wars and we get rid of those laws, which we will now, they will be reviewed. Oh, they will be burnt into dust, because even the illegal, disgusting lawmakers on Capitol Hill don't want to wear the mask. By the way, I just want to point out, in Washington, D.C., you don't have to wear a mask if you're a politician. So if you're a politician doing anything political, just like when John Brennan testified before, if they swore him in, which I'm sure they didn't for Durham, it doesn't matter. He knows that the lies that he was caught for with his perjury, his testimony before the House and before the Senate, it doesn't matter. If you're a politician, you can lie to Congress. That's just the law, folks. They do it all the time with absolute impunity. So John Brennan, whatever he says, it's the opposite. And it is not the end of times. It is the beginning of times for those who are awake, because now vaccine control of our children was almost fait accompli. No one was going to be exempt anymore. Okay. And then now that turns into a vaccine for a fake COVID-19. And then that's going to turn into everyone must get the flu shot every year. And that's going to turn into you almost get the pneumonia shot. And by the way, you adults, you missed all those good shots that we've given the children. The 81 shots? Oh, no, I'm 66. I only probably got, it's not true, because I went to the military. I got so many shots.
No, you are 66 years old.
But I'm just,
I can verify.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I got a lot of shots. But let's just say a standard person, okay, like me, when they were young, they didn't get all the shots, though they probably have diabetes, heart disease, or some other problem because they were given enteroviruses that never left their body. That's called shingles. That's called chickenpox. That's called herpes. That's from vaccines. Now, what are they going to do now? They're going to say to you and I, oh, well, right here on your biochip, it says you haven't been given all the shots that we give the children nowadays. So we're going to give you 62 shots to catch you up. I'm not making this up.
Why don't they just give you a lethal injection? Because in the process of genocide, one of the first groups of people they want to eliminate are old people, because old people hold actual history in their head. And these people are trying to create a revisionist type of history where people, even when they're born now, they'll be programmed and brainwashed and vaccinated. They will just be, Rudolf Steiner talks about it, and I liken it to the, you know, the slug people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even when they're slug people, you know, the angels still are helping them. And we have to help everyone we can. But sometimes you're just not going to awaken someone who's so asleep. And if you do, they'll be so angry with you that they will attack you. That is why the mob rule of the Democrats say that those are peaceful protests, because those people are acting out what they feel and acting out their violence, their aggression, their hatred. Now, I just saw the most beautiful documentary showing how white people have been manipulated by the Black Panther group, the Society for Democratic Students, and Kamala Harris's dad himself was a Stanford professor. And here was a clip of his father, of Kamala Harris's father, out with a radical group of communists and Marxists preaching Marxist economics. I didn't understand just how far left her father was. Her father was a complete Marxist economist who tried to preach that stuff throughout our universities. And who was he? He was a spy sent from Jamaica. And that's who? The British. And so this is the standard propaganda that you get. And then what happens? Their children, the children of the mob bosses like Pelosi, like Hillary Clinton, That is who Kamala Harris is. She is a child of a Marxist killer. This guy was preaching the support for Angela Davis, preaching the support for the Weathermen. He was his economic group was the economic branch of the Weathermen. And now we're going to elect his daughter, and she says she's black when she's not, and we've proven this.
And she says she's a citizen, and she has no proof. She's an illegal alien. I don't want to see her on the ticket. I want to see her on a boat back to Jamaica or India or wherever she came. And if nobody will take her, she needs to be imprisoned for immigration fraud.
Send her back to the Queen, you know, where she came from. And her father, her great-great-grandfather, who was completely British, who imprisoned everybody, Irish, German, British, you name it, everybody, and had many wives. And so you can't even trace her lineage. And so when you talk about Donald Harris, you're talking about a full-on chaos Marxist who we supported, we, through our tax dollars and through scholarships and through support, supported this person who created a daughter who wants to lie about the fact that she had to be bused. She was never bused. She went to a Catholic school. We have the pictures of where they lived in their student housing. We've tracked them, and everything practically that Kamala Harris says is a lie.